and enjoy trivia and music together. For dates and times, visit WGTD.org.
This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, Vice President for Community and Government Relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. As a longtime resident of Kenosha and a parent of a KUSD student, I was able to witness a lot of the district's arts offerings through my son's participation. And I also attended many theater productions to see neighborhood kids perform in Tarzan, Shrek, and Guys and Dolls, among others, at a very professional level. As a parent, I will never forget my first Bandorama. Over 1,500 students from 5th through 12th grade in one giant concert in the Indian Trail Fieldhouse was quite a spectacle. From the opening national anthem through the squeaks and squawks of the nervous fifth graders and the standing ovation they received from the wise and experienced high school students who were once sitting in their chairs, to the grand finale of every single student in the KUSD band programs playing the Stars and Stripes Forever. I was blown away at every turn. And then I learned that there are similar events were held for the orchestra and choral programs, and that a jazz festival was held in fall featuring all of the middle and high school jazz bands, with the band instructors forming their own jazz band for the finale. I could go on, but I think it makes more sense to talk to our guest today, Mr. Scott Plank, Director of Fine Arts for KUSD. Scott Plank graduated from UW Whitewater and was a 20-year high school band director in Wisconsin in all different kinds of communities. And then he earned a master's degree and became a middle school associate principal for a year. And we were lucky enough then for him to choose to become coordinator of fine arts for Kenosha Unified School District, where he has been for 10 years. So welcome, Scott. I'm so happy to talk to you today.
Thank you, Karen. It's a pleasure to join you today.
So we are here to have you tell us all about the amazing arts events coming up in Kenosha Unified School District. So as a start, can you tell us about the arts offerings in KUSD and how your role helps to sustain them?
Sure. So KUSD offers comprehensive opportunities, experiences in the arts that, you know, range from the traditional band, choir, and orchestra to theater opportunities, visual art, dance. So we're very proud of what we have to offer. We feel like we've got a place for every student who's interested in pursuing the arts. And we're very happy that we've got quite a bit of participation that continues to this day.
Great. So the rest of the program, we're going to highlight some of the upcoming events, and we will list the events calendar in our Education Matters Facebook page and in the archive page for WGTD. But if you could just list the events and dates here for our listeners, and then again at the end of the program so they can mark their calendars. So what's coming up?
Sure. So our big district-wide events that are coming up are our Bandorama Festival, which is Saturday, January 28th. Then we have our Choral Festival, which is Saturday, February 18th. Our Orchestra Festival, which is Saturday, March 11th. We have a district-wide student art show at the Kenosha Public Museum that will open the evening of Friday, March 17th, and run through April 23rd. And we have numerous different theater productions, which would probably be easier for people to navigate if they just go to our KUSD.edu/fine arts page. There they can see all of the different productions and purchase tickets for any of the events or productions that we're doing throughout the district.
Okay, so the first big event is Bandorama. So what I'm going to do is play a little excerpt from the 2022 Bandorama. Maybe you can give us a bit of an intro to this, and then we'll talk about it afterward.
Sure. You know, each year we pick a unique set of repertoire for each one of our festivals. Sometimes we have, as we did in 2022, a composer who is also our guest conductor. So we had Brian Balmages, who was here, and he wrote this piece. So it's really fantastic not only to have, you know, somebody of the caliber of Brian up in front directing them, but also directing a piece that he wrote. And, you know, for some of these composers, you know, being in front of a group the size that we have is pretty unique as well. They don't get the opportunity to come and conduct in front of, you know, 300 or 400 high school age students all at one time. Usually they're much smaller groups. So a lot of different, you know, aspects to the experience that kids have with this. But this piece was one that we did with the junior and senior level high school students this past year at Bandorama.
Okay, so here it is, Arabian Dances. I like that little bit. There's quite a bit more to that song. For people who want to hear it, I will put the 2022 Bandorama link in our show notes and also in the comments on Facebook. I love that, though, because you can hear each of the sections coming in and sort of the whole thing building. It gets even more exciting if you listen to the whole thing. So kind of describe what else happens in Bandorama. I sort of said a little bit about it at the beginning, but tell our audience maybe what's unique about this.
Well, I guess first of all, it's designed and intended to be a showcase of all of the students who are in band throughout the entire district, so 5th grade through 12th grade. And I think that what's fantastic about it is that students get to see that bigger picture. The 5th graders get to see what will occur, and the parents get to see what will occur as they progress through the program. And then also parents get the reminder, even as, perhaps seniors, what just a few short years ago, they looked and sounded like as fifth graders or as middle school students. So really it's a powerful experience for students. And I also feel that, one of the biggest impacts that the event has is just this sense of being part of something that is so much bigger than just yourself. And you really can't replicate that, especially when you're in this sea of players of, over, I think this year we'll probably have over 1,300 students on the floor. We're a little bit smaller right now as we're still bouncing back from COVID, but still, being a part of, something that's, you're essentially on a team with 1,300 other people is pretty amazing just in and of itself.
Right. So I mentioned at the beginning, I think one of the best parts of it, and I don't know if there's something similar in Choral and Orchestra Fest, but they have the beginning band players do play, and it's always the same songs. It's London Bridge and the Frog March and some other really simple songs, but they've only been playing for about 4 or 5 months at that point. So the fact that they can get a whole bunch of fifth graders to play roughly the same thing at the same time is always a huge accomplishment. But the really beautiful thing is when the fifth graders finish, the high school kids all stand up and give them a standing ovation. And they are probably remembering when that happened to them when they do that. So I think that's one of the sweet things about the concert in general. It's spectacle, but it's also just sort of this continuity. And then I would say one of the other fun things for me is that I teach teachers at Carthage College, and there are always a lot of KUSD students who come to Carthage to become music teachers. And then sometimes they go back and teach in KUSD. So Brittany Teschler was one of my students. She is now band director for elementary, I believe, only.
She's our band director at K-Tech.
At K-Tech, okay. Yeah, that's always an interesting thing to see. But I think just for your average community member, even if you don't know any kids in this program, it's really fun to watch either the YouTube video or to go in person to see it.
It's definitely a spectacle, and we continue to be reminded every year by the guests that we have that really there isn't anything like it anywhere else. People in other communities will talk about their bandorama or their festivals that they hold, but truly this is unique. And to your comment about the high school kids applauding the fifth graders in band, that's always a spontaneous thing, and it occurs in the orchestra festival as well. Choral festival is a little bit different. Fifth graders who are involved in choral festival are part of our all city choir program, and so they really integrate when they come in. They do a solo piece, but they really integrate with the bigger choir, which is something that's unique to the choral program, that we can have fifth graders through high school students on several different pieces throughout the program. So much harder when you're working on learning the logistics of an instrument, be it a string instrument or a wind or percussion instrument, versus being able to use your voice, which you have been developing throughout your entire lifetime. So it's just a little bit of a different format that we use with the Choral Festival.
So I just wanted to remind you that you are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of Kenosha Unified School District's upcoming arts events is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. And if you go to either of those places, we'll have links to all of the things that we've been listening to and talking about in case you want to buy tickets or just want to go to the YouTube channel and listen to past events. So the other big similar events are Orchestra Festival and Choral Festival. So tell us when they take place.
So our Choral Festival will come next after Bandorama, and that is on Saturday, February 18th. And then our Orchestra Festival is on Saturday, March 11th. All three of these big events are held at Indian Trail. And I will say that for all events, the ticketing and the seating is limited. We have live seating in the field house where the event takes place, and that is ticketed. That will sell out in advance. We also have on-site seating in our auditorium, and there you would sit in a regular auditorium seat, and we have a three-camera live feed of the event. It's theater style. Mm-hmm. And then we also stream our events live on our YouTube channel as well. So we have multiple ways for people to be able to experience the event.
So if you are not into sitting on bleachers for 2 hours, you can go into the auditorium and sit in a nice auditorium seat.
Correct. For free. No charge at all for that.
That's excellent. So I am going to play a piece from the Choral Festival, maybe you can give a little bit of an intro.
Yeah, I think we were looking at Consecrate the Place and Day. So this was our combined high school and middle school chorus that sang this last year with our guest conductor, Dr. Andrew Last. So this is really... this was probably close to 1,200 students singing on this one.
Okay. All right. So here is the KUSD combined choral groups.
Sing for the hope in a new day dawning, all around is new tea.
Okay, so that was just an excerpt again, but you can kind of get a feel for the many voices in that choir and how it builds.
So Karen, I apologize. That was actually Sing My Child.
Oh, okay.
That's the combined high school chorus. I apologize. I misread what we had queued up there. So
That's okay. And people can go, again, I'll put the links in the show notes and also on the Facebook page in the comments. And you can go and listen to the whole thing, including the other piece that we had the wrong title of at the beginning, because that's in here too. And the recordings are an hour or more long, and they go back quite a few years. You were recording these long before COVID, so people can go back and listen to the other ones too.
Correct. Our YouTube channel has all of the most recent, I think probably 6 or 7 years worth of all of the festivals, including our jazz festival as well, which is the festival that we start off the year with in November of each year.
Mm-hmm. And I would just like to say that I've attended a bunch of choral fests. My son never was in choir, but I heard about it and I wanted to go. And they're all kind of incredible, just the energy of being in a room with that many musicians. But there's something about the choral thing where you can feel it. I could feel it through the computer screen just now when I was playing it. Just like there's something about the resonance of the voices. I don't know. And one of my favorite parts of Choral Festival, and I'm not sure if you're still doing this, but a lot of times there's a piece that's just all of the boys in the entire district singing an all-male piece. And that is extremely powerful as well. So if you have any comments on that. Mm-hmm.
This year we do have a bass voices piece. Mm-hmm. So all of the combined bass voices, and we also have a treble voices piece. So to try to highlight both of those different vocal ranges that mm-hmm. That students are singing in.
Great. And then we have an excerpt from Orchestra Festival as well. So how is Orchestra Festival the same as Bandorama? How is it different?
Orchestra Festival is similar to Bandorama in terms of the way that the program is laid out. I think that the biggest difference is that with orchestra we do a full symphony orchestra with some of our pieces, so it incorporates not only the string players but also some of the more advanced wind and percussion players in the district. So it's very much like going to a regular orchestra concert. The Chicago Symphony or Milwaukee Symphony, where you've got all of the instruments represented there. So that's a very unique thing too, because as the beginners in orchestra, it's just strings, and they get to see, that culmination of not just string orchestra performance, but also that full orchestra element too.
Right. So this is a piece from the Orchestra Fest. It's kind of the finale of last year. And I picked the beginning, but it's quite a long piece. I think you will hear in this all of the different instruments kind of building, and it continues to build. But we're only going to listen to a couple of minutes of it. And what's the piece called and the conductor or the composer?
I believe what we have queued up is Warrior Legacy, and this is by Soonhee Newbold, and it was conducted by Soonhee Newbold.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Okay, that goes on too, but you get a feel for where it's headed. It's quite the majestic piece, and you could hear all of those elements you were talking about. There was a lot of percussion, you could hear all the brass and woodwind instruments, and then the orchestra really came on full force. So I got to go back and listen to all these and pick out the pieces I wanted to play on here, and what a delight. So what's the most challenging thing about putting together these huge ensemble events? I assume this falls to you and your team.
You know, the whole just event coordination in general, poses, its own sets of challenges. And when we're talking about just the number of participants, the number of directors that are involved, all of the behind the scenes stuff from our box office and, ticket sales to security and volunteers for ushers and making sure that, everything is taken care of with the facility, moving equipment. I mean, there's just so many moving parts. And I really feel too that a lot of people that I talk to in other big districts that don't do activities like this or don't do events like this are kind of blown away by it. And part of it, I think, is that, we've got such a legacy and a history. I mean, all of this evolved out of Kenosha at one time being a one high school district, and the program and the events just sort of grew with it. So we have all of these directors and all these people that really know the drill. And without that sort of wisdom of the crowd, I don't know how we would be able to do it, because it is quite amazing that when we hit 6:30 p.m. on that Saturday night where we have the event, I always tell people, hey, we're going to start on time. When it's 6:30, we said that the concert will start at 6:30, we will start. And everything starts, and everybody knows what to do, and everybody knows where their places are supposed to be. And by and large, the kids know what the drill is supposed to be like. It really is quite an amazing thing when all of the gears start and work and mesh together in motion for these events to happen.
Right. And then of course you have to continue to think about the fact that this is all happening in Wisconsin in the middle of winter. So weather is a factor occasionally. Yes.
It is. And we when I first started here, we kind of had a loose idea of what we would do in the event of a weather closure or that sort of thing. But we have since really kind of developed that plan. So it's very tight as far as, okay, if we were to have school canceled on one of the days during the week, or if something would happen on that Friday or on that Saturday, we have a full contingency plan for that. The one downside is that we do sell tickets for the event, and unfortunately, no matter what, our tickets are not refundable, because the bottom line is we have bills to pay either way. And one of the things that's amazing about this event is that there are no district dollars that go to support this event. This event is completely 100% supported by the ticket sales and donations we receive for the events themselves, which is absolutely amazing. We really couldn't do it if we weren't able to, financially, what supports the event is the ticket sales and the donations that, people put forward to make sure that it can happen and can continue into the future.
Okay. I remind you again, you're listening to WGTD HD FM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of Kenosha Unified School District's upcoming arts events is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. And as I've said throughout, I will make sure that all of the links to the various things we've talked about are included in both places so that you can listen again, either to the entire program or to the various things that we've discussed. While we were talking about orchestra right before the break, before the reintroduction, I wanted to ask you a little bit about golden strings, because this was something that I'd never seen before in my life and was one of the first things I learned about fine arts at KUSD, because we went to an event where they played. So tell us a little bit about the golden strings.
So golden strings is a unique ensemble. They're a strolling strings ensemble, and it is specific to Tremper High School. The founder of that group was Stanley Nozel, who for many years was the orchestra director there. And that sort of has been the legacy. And in fact, Nancy Nozel is now the director of that group. And so again, that's a Tremper group specifically, and strolling strings. There are really probably only a handful of groups like that around the country. So you know, that's really kind of a unique thing. They do go out and they perform at different holiday parties and things like that, at dinner events. And basically the concept is they are moving around, they're performing popular type music and are in and among the guests as they're doing that. So it really is a unique experience.
Yes. That's something I'd never heard of before. And obviously, even though it's Tremper specific, the fact that there is sort of a thriving arts program in general makes it possible to have a program like that. The other thing is we cannot have a discussion about arts programs in Kenosha without discussing the theater program. So describe the KUSD theater program structure, and how is it a little unique compared to typical high school theater or district-wide theater programs?
We treat the theater program as a district-wide program, which means that students from any of the schools really can audition and be a part of the productions at, you know, if you're a student at Bradford, for instance, you can be a part of a production at Bradford or Indian Trail or Harborside or Tremper. So our students really move around and get experiences with a number of different directors, a number of different approaches to theater, musical theater, straight theater, black box, more experimental kind of experiences. I think in all this year, we've got 14 or 15 different shows to choose from. And of course, you know, we do traditional large scale musicals. Each one of the schools does that, as well as lots of smaller shows in the interim as well. So it would be really difficult for me to kind of rattle off everything that's going on. So again, our webpage, our fine arts webpage on the KUSD website is the place to go. That's where all of the ticketing is. You can scroll through and see all the different productions and what's going on there as well.
And, you know, what are some of the standout accomplishments of the theater program? Are there any notable alumni working in theater professionally at this point?
I know we do have alumni that are working in theater. I believe we've got some folks working in different areas in New York City and traveling shows, things like that. I don't have names to share with you, but we do have students who have gone on into a career in theater in one way or another. Our programs are recognized nationally with the International Thespian Festival being a notable performance venue for a number of years, large number of years. Our programs are also winning awards at the Wisconsin High School Theater Association festivals and things like that. So yeah, if you're involved in theater in the state of Wisconsin as a student or as a teacher, Kenosha is a familiar name for sure.
Right. So I will note that I've been following the career of Kalia Wilcoxon, who is the one who It has been on Broadway and starred in Hadestown and was on the Tony Awards and just finished, or maybe is still in the midst of, a touring program of the musical Six, which is based on the Six Wives of Henry VIII. So anyway, that, and I saw her on that stage at Bradford doing musicals. So I feel like this is a big thing to kind of say, this hometown gal. It's sort of like our football players that play in the NFL, right? It's sort of similar kind of honor.
Yeah. In addition, we have Colin Robertson right now, who is the spring cast of Jesus Christ Superstar. I'm going to be going to the Overture Center in Madison in February to see that show, and looking forward to seeing Colin there as well.
Right. So that's pretty interesting. And there's so much going on that you don't want to see. The other thing that I think we want to say is, just as a last thing to highlight, is the visual arts in Kenosha. So what happens with visual art and making visual art, and how do you highlight that?
We highlight that in a couple of different ways. If you do go to our website, our page on the KUSD website, you'll see we have our Fine Art Showcase, which each month we have submissions from elementary through high school of different works that students are creating in their art classes, and those showcase those students. And then, of course, we have our large district-wide art show, which we are so lucky to be able to have a venue like the Kenosha Public Museum to be able to display works. I mean, it's a big deal for a student to be able to say, I've got a piece that's on display in, you know, a real museum, like this is, you know, in a real gallery. That's very exciting. And so each year we do our district art show. This is the 51st year of our district-wide art show, and we will display somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 pieces of student artwork. And this year's art show is, let's see here, I had the date here, and now it escapes me where I placed that here, but
we'll make opening, sure it's on the same
page. Opening of the show is, I believe, March 17th, and we do a grand opening in the evening from 5 to 7, which will be a meet and greet with all the art teachers. Many of the families come out for that. In the past, pre-COVID, we would see more than 1,000 people show up for that opening event. And then the show actually runs officially. It's then open museum hours starting on the 18th of March, and it runs through March 23rd, or I'm sorry, April 23rd.
Right. So even if you can't make it for the opening, you can go to Kenosha Public Museum when they're open and just see all the wonderful artwork done in the district. So we've been talking about school year events, but arts don't take a break in summer. So what options for arts are available through KUSD or affiliate groups in the summertime?
Yeah, so the summertime is in some ways busier for us than the school year. And I think partly it's because they're concentrated programs. They're usually about 6 weeks long in the summertime. So what we offer in the summer is we offer KYPAC, which is the Kenosha Youth Performing Arts Company. And that is a theater opportunity for students in first grade through eighth grade. We really don't have programs for them during the school year. So this is a way for them to get involved and get a taste of what theater is about and start to develop their skills and their interest so that hopefully when they get to the high school level, they'll be participating in all the great theater opportunities. We also have our full orchestra program, which runs from beginners all the way through high school. And we have a comprehensive band program as well. We don't start beginners in band in the summer, but all students from fifth grade through 12th grade have a band opportunity. And Our bands include a marching component in the summer as well. So we have the Rambler Band and the Band of the Black Watch that march in local parades and explore that aspect of the band program. And we also have a color guard program. In fact, this is our first year that we are running a winter color guard program. Our winter color guard is called Kinetic, and they have been practicing, and they will be starting to do some competitions in Illinois this winter, and then they will be representing Kenosha in parades with the Band of the Black Watch and Rambler as well this summer.
Okay. Well, as usual, we've run out of time. So quickly, what is the website where they can access all the dates for all these different events?
Sure. The easiest way to get to us is to type in kusd.edu/fineArts, FINEARTS. That'll take you right to our Fine Arts landing page. And there'll be information there as well as some areas to navigate on the left-hand side if you're looking for specific things.
Okay. Well, thank you very much to my guest, Scott Plank, Coordinator of Fine Arts for Kenosha Unified School District. It's a long winter. Get out there and see some of our local kids do all of the great things that they're doing through the arts. You've been listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. Please go to WGTD.org and the Education Matters page for further information and to listen to this again, or join us on our Education Matters Facebook page and access all of these great programs. Thank you so much, Scott, for joining me today.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org.
I'm Gregory Berg, and I hope that you can join me for Monday's morning show here on WGTD. Monday, of course, is Martin Luther King Day, and we will be honoring that day and his legacy with a couple of different interviews, one of them with Todd Purdom, who wrote back in 2014 a fascinating book called An Idea Whose Time Has Come, Two Presidents, Two Parties, and the Battle for the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
Support for WGTD comes from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center. ADRC provides free memory screen Mondays for those concerned about memory changes. Call to schedule an appointment. The number is 262-605-6646.
In a world filled with possibilities and wonder, we can always find grace in between the music. Join me, Lily Maselli, host of In Between the Music, and enjoy trivia and music together. For dates and times, visit WGTD.org.
Support comes from the Racine Theater Guild, presenting Perfect Wedding January 13th through the 29th. Between a groom, a bride, her mother, the best man, a maid, and a girlfriend, will this hilarious mix of matrimony end in love or loss? More is at RacineTheater.org.
This is WGTD-HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant.